We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, who's gone out? Who's come in? Why did they go out? Well, you couldn't sign a lot of your free agents. That was salary cap. And why are you in salary cap jail? In part because you have 13.5 in dead money with Brady. And again, you're in cap jail. You still haven't gotten Joe Tooney's number down to get out of cap jail, so he's franchised. You're paying an exorbitant amount on guards. I don't hate the draft at all, especially the first five picks, but you haven't been able to do anything. So your hands are tied, and your past drafts have got you in a position where you're looking at positions that are not bolstered by what you would call proven young talent. So how can you be anyplace else?
Tommy Curran talking about what most people think, and that is that it was a miserable offseason for the New England Patriots. This hour being sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, now open in Dedham next to Legacy Place. So ESPN ranks all of the teams, and they got New England 30th. I don't even remember who was 31 and 32. But I don't know. I can tell you. Chicago Bears were 31. And
Houston's the worst.
Yeah. And I would say this. I don't see how anybody can disagree with that. No. The Patriots did not have a good offseason. And let's face it, we can't tell what's going to happen with the draft picks. I mean, Asiasi, Keen could be terrific. Who the hell knows? A Duggar could be the greatest thing since sliced bread. You don't know. But they're all in a kind of the same position. You look at the offseason, and none of it is really positive. Now, I'll say this. Is it really important if you win the offseason? How many times have I heard the Buffalo Bills won the offseason, Miami won the offseason,
no,
and then they come back
now,
and play the games, and they're the same sucky team?
I mean, a little bit different now. Things have changed a little bit. I mean, you know, in the past, we sat there and said, well, as long as they got Brady and Belichick, you know, they don't win the offseason, but Bill will find guys that fit in, and he's still got Tom. So it's a little bit different right now.
Well,
so when you get,
right
so
now,
when
then.
You get, you know, this version of this team gets an F in the offseason, you know, I don't think there's much of an argument. I mean, I don't know how you could give them a C. Like, so what is the best part of this offseason for this ball club? What's the most encouraging thing you've seen? That they've drafted players just like every other team in the NFL. Drafted players. Like, seriously. Oh, but they drafted kids. I mean, this is the backbone. They had a great draft. Number one, you don't know if they had a great draft. It could have had a great draft.
Right.
But the only hope, the only positive, is that they actually drafted football players in an NFL draft in which every other team was allowed to do the same. That's it.
Yeah, I don't think anything can be made of offseason. I bet you we can go and find and research stories in the past where we look at offseasons and offseason winners and offseason losers, and it doesn't translate into the same thing when you get into the regular season. I can remember that with the Patriots, that there have been some terrific offseasons, and suddenly they weren't as good as we thought they were going to be. All right, and other seasons in which it's just the opposite. I don't think it means anything, but we all know we're in a different period now, Lou, than we were for the last 20 years. We're not looking at this team going to the Super Bowl. If they do, it will be the most remarkable Patriots season maybe of all time.
It was one of the boringest off seasons in memory for me.
No, it wasn't.
It was one. It was the. You had one storyline in the off season. That's the same story.
So
how many different? Oh my God! Please, last year was a lot better. Last year you had a lot of stuff going on. You had free agents coming in. You were trying to sign guys. They weren't signed. You had the Kraft situation. Had Brady being upset.
Yeah.
You had one story that we just beat to death, Glenn. You know it. One freaking story?
It was the most unbelievable story, though.
It was unbelievable. Please.
Oh,
I called it a year before
story.
It even happened. Come on. Catch
right.
up,
you
buddy.
Knew it. You knew it was coming.
I knew it before the Super Bowl against the Rams. I'm just saying, it's an F.
Yes.
For Foyer. It's an F.
It has to be an F.
It's just, and there's There's nothing you can point at and say, and I'm with you, Lou, with the whole draft picks. I have no clue.
None of
talk to me in 5 years.
No, but I'm just saying, you've read it recently, right? Everyone's diving into Kyle Duggar. Asi, Keen. You're seeing all these, like, personal stories, individual, like, you know, stories on these guys. And of course, everybody is great. Do you think, like, other cities, other teams are sitting there saying, oh, no, we drafted this guy. He sucks. Like, you don't think they're doing the same? Like, the excitement for the New England Patriots offseason is the fact that they were able to draft football players and not even one in the first round. So maybe Duggar is a steal for the second round. I don't know. Maybe 2 or 3 years we'll look back as a great draft. But right now, I don't know how you can think it's a positive that they drafted football players like everyone else.
Nobody's giving them high grades. I can tell you that. Nobody. The most staunch Patriot fan out there cannot give them a high grade. I don't think Fitzy's given them
a high grade. They weren't able to bring in anybody at all.
You can't.
Because of where they are financially.
But I will say this, and it's not going to be the same. We all know it's different. They're not going to be a Super Bowl contender. We get that. But this is not going to be a fascinating or interesting team. Now, six games into it, if it all blows up and all these guys suck, you're right, it's going to be a miserable season. But you're telling me that out of the gate, there is not an awful lot of interest, maybe more interest in the preseason in watching some of these guys than you've had in the past. Because the preseason really has meant absolutely nothing for the New England Patriots for years. What do you get out of the preseason?
No, nothing. I would agree. I mean, beginning of the year, there's going to be a ton of intrigue. Ton of it.
Can Stidham play?
Yeah.
Duggar, is he that good? Second round pick, Division II player?
You know what's going to drive me nuts? First of all, I doubt they're going to allow fans at the stands during the preseason practices. That's not going to happen anymore. You'll still have reporters there. They'll have a certain little area roped off, a little circle where they can stand. You'll still
get
the
apart.
Jared Stidham was 7-for-12. Yeah, red zone. He was 6-of-9.
You talking
two
about
touchdown passes.
I heard 15.
You're still going to get that, and you're going to be judging that. Looks like I can already tell you story.
Lewerke is popping.
Story on Lewerke's great. Stidham and Julian Edelman have built a really good relationship in a short period of time. You're going to hear that the offensive line is really good. David Andrews is better than ever.
Healthy
the tight end
again.
Situation remind me of Gronk and Hernandez.
Yep.
That is the crap that you're going to get. Defense filled with veterans. Whoa, do they have some good safeties? Who is Duggar going to learn from more? McCourty, or is it going to be Patrick Chung? That's the type of crap you're going to get. Let's just bypass the whole offseason, preseason right now, and just get to the game.
See, I think the preseason is going to be fascinating this year because we haven't seen these guys play. And
you may never see him play to the first game.
But you're right. Like anything else, you saw Jacoby Myers do some stuff in the preseason and then not as much so in the regular season. I'm not sure it's necessarily going to translate into the regular season because in the preseason, who are they playing against? Who are these guys playing against? But I think the first part of the season is going to be fascinating to watch whether these guys can tread water. Can they hang in there? Because I think a lot of people think there's a good chance they could be 1-3, who knows, maybe 0-4. And out of the gate, can they tread water? Is this defense going to be able to keep them in games?
Well, I don't think the defense is going to be nearly as good as it was last year because they won't have the benefit of playing against all those unbelievably historically crappy teams with historically bad quarterback situations. Unbelievably bad. They will not have that luxury, especially in the first 5 weeks. They won't have it. It may be reversed. Well, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think so. But last year, you had all your tough games in the back half of the season. This year, all your toughest ones are in the beginning. You know, they're really sprinkled all throughout. But in that first 5 games, boy, you're going to be tested a lot. A lot. And
the point I'm saying is if they can tread water and hang in those games.
2-2, 3-2, 2-3, just right. Always kind of hovering around close right. To or at 500. And you know what that is? When you're hovering at or below or right above it, you're a 500 team.
Yeah, but if you're sitting there and you're writing this thing off entirely, you're just a spoiled brat. I mean, you've watched the last 20 years, and you're sitting there going, oh, this is beneath me. I don't want to have a team like the rest of the NFL, the
Glenn,
teams that win 6 and 7 and 8 games.
What do you think the Boston
that?
Sports fan is?
Well, I just
said you're
that.
A spoiled brat. The Boston sports fan, we've been very lucky. We can pick and choose which team we're invested in based on whether we think they can win or not. The Patriots have won for 20 years, so everyone has been invested. Do you think people aren't going to jump ship?
Brady gave them nothing.
Again, like, it's going to happen if they have the type of year I think they're going to have, you know, and be like a 5-win team. Now, if they win 9-10 games and they're in a playoff hunt and Jared Stidham is really good, then there will be some excitement. But the Patriot fans are spoiled. They'll look at it and they'll be curious, but they'll sit there and say, well, they're not good enough to win. I mean, so, we'll see what they can do in the play. They won't believe in them.
I mean,
we've already seen
them.
When people around here don't believe in the team, the interest isn't the same.
If they can win 9 or 10 games this season, there will be very few people leaving them. As much as people made a big deal about, I'm never going to watch them again, I'm a Tampa Bay fan or whatever, and especially if Tampa Bay is underachieving. But if this team can win 9 or 10 games, or during the course of the season, you can look at them and you can envision them now winning 9 or 10. Look at the rest of the schedule. They're hanging in these games. Look at this game. They won this game. They surprised this team. There's going to be a lot of attention on them. I don't think that people are going to suddenly run and hide.
No,
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, well,
they won't if they win 9 games.
They won't run and hide if they win 4 games.
Okay.
Looks like if they win 5 games?
It's ugly.
Jared Stidham's their quarterback. You're yelling at Bill for not bringing in a quarterback.
No, Brian Hoyer's your quarterback at some
either
point.
One,
if you win
either
five
way.
Games.
Either way, what are you going to do? You can't sit there and yell at them for Stidham not being great. He ain't going to be great. He'll be lucky if he's good. So you knew who is saying that Stidham is going to be great?
Well, I think if you think they're going to win 9 or 10 games and you think he's going to be maybe not great, but he's going to be really, really good.
What's really good?
I don't think.
Can we go back to the first year
of
Tom Brady? Because those are the numbers. Because if you're expecting.
Look at those numbers.
Yeah, those numbers.
They weren't great.
Yeah, not great. No, and
I
don't.
They weren't great. Yeah. Heavy run, good defense, smart coaching decisions.
Yep.
That's what gets you 9 wins all day long.
Yeah, and 3,000 passing yards, not 4,000 passing yards. Pretty high, probably. Completion percentage, but you're right, Christian. You're keeping him under control. You're playing a little bit more conservative football out there. But if he, ends up with 23, 25 touchdowns and he has only 13 interceptions, 12, 13, for a guy in that state, that's pretty good, isn't it?
The only problem is if he has numbers that Brady had back in whatever that first year was, in today's league, that's abysmal. 2,800 yards? In today's league?
Yeah, I think it's going to be higher than that. I think it'll be over 3,000 yards, but I'm not. I said not 4,000 yards, but I think he's going to be over 3,000 yards. I do. Because you're right, the league has changed. So they throw the football far more.
What did Blake Bortles have? Ryan Tannehill have? What did Josh Allen have? You don't have to throw for 4,000 yards to be a good team.
Correct.
You don't.
And especially if this defense is good, and this is where I disagree with you. I think this defense will be very good. I'll tell you a guy who played for this defense who suddenly thinks this team's going to be very, very good. One of their Hall of Famers. We will get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
Mudded Night, weeknights 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, guys, the Patriots and Patrick Chung have agreed to a 2-year extension through 2023. Patrick gets $3 million up front to sign and is now due up to $12.8 million over the next 4 years. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler has an interesting note that says that Chung considered retirement this offseason before signing this extension that keeps him in Patriot land through 2023.
And we're going to get to this next.
Sham Sharani.
They all consider retirement. And then they get more money. And they stop thinking about
it. Okay, I'll play again.
Was I really? I was kidding.
How do you retire when they want to give you more money? Play a kids game. You're playing a kids
game.
I think
Mutt calls that leverage.
Yeah.
Is that what Mutt calls it?
Yes. I think one time he did. Sham Sharani of The Athletic says the NBA and Disney are in serious discussions about the NBA season resuming at Disney World in Orlando. Sharani's source says the prospect of players fully training in mid-June and playing by mid-July has been the most popular and possible scenario discussed. And finally, Redskins rookie wide receiver Antonio Gowdy-Golden says he tested positive for coronavirus in March and was fully recovered by early April.
Really? It's amazing how that happened. He fully recovered, huh? Young guy. Great shape. It's amazing how that happens.
I'm Tyler Devitt, and that's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I think the Patriots, that's the last thing that they're worried about is leadership. You got so many leaders on the defensive side of the ball. You got quiet leaders on the offensive side of the ball. And, of course, you still have Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. I think this is a team that's looking at a 10-6 record, maybe 9-7 at the worst-case scenario.
Wow, that's higher than some folks think.
That is Rodney Harrison. Wasn't it a month ago, Rodney was sitting there talking about the Brady stuff, and he wasn't really pleased about the Brady stuff. Now, suddenly, he's talking about the possibility of 9-7 or 10-6.
He must have been listening to us.
Apparently not.
Well, he wasn't listening to Lou. He's listening to you
seven,
and me.
9-7. 10-6 is the best case scenario. 9-7, I think, is, again, I was on a 9-7 team the last time they were 9-7. And I remember how that season went. It's not fun.
You guys were better.
We were more talented, but we couldn't get out of our own way. So I don't know what that means. There was tons of red jackets on that team on offense and defense.
If you win 9-7, it's not your Stidham that ends up being a very good quarterback in this league, which again could happen. It is, you know, this year's draft class having a huge role in your team. Last year's draft class having a huge role on this team.
And it may happen, by the way. They didn't get an opportunity to play some of those guys. That may have an impact, a bigger impact this year than this year's draft.
The more rookies you play, the more mistakes are made, including your quarterback position. Yeah. So in order to win 10 games with that schedule, your rookies have to look like second, third, fourth year players. Well, your quarterback has to be legit. Don't see all that stuff coming together.
He's got to be good.
You got a new kicker who could cost you a game. You got a quarterback.
Well, what did you have last
who
year?
Who could cost you a game?
Three kickers, right? So you were picking guys off the scrap heap,
So let me phrase it this way. So cuz I think Blue probably has an opportunity to be more right than we do, Glenn.
Why is that?
Cuz they're going to suck.
Matt Castle went 11-5. Matt Castle went 11-5, so that's
maybe this kid's better than
wins
Matt Castle.
More, and that team was loaded.
Yes,
they had just 16-0. Won
16-0.
Go look at their offensive line.
They were unbelievable, and they were able to win 11 games. Didn't make the playoffs. They only got two more wins than 9-7. So with that team, so I every time I think about, do I feel better or worse the closer the season gets? I start doubting my own 9-7 because it's tough. Think about Buffalo. Buffalo won 10 games last year. And do you remember how that season went? They were beating the teams that they should beat. They're just the crappy teams, the Cincinnati's and Jacksonville's, other where they were beating them.
They had an easy schedule.
They were
schedule.
Losing to the good teams.
Right.
And then they were splitting with the teams that were kind of like them. But they ended up on top because they just made one play more than the other team. They almost beat you. Matt Barkley had four opportunities to beat the New England Patriots, and he couldn't do
both
it.
Both games.
He couldn't do it. So you sit there and go, wow, they're not as good. They're not as good.
Yeah, but
so
we do the
how
we
in
do
the hell are they going to get nine wins, Glenn?
I think they get.
I'm trying to talk us off of it.
I think Ronnie's right. I think if the quarterback is pretty good, they can even squeeze out a 10th win. But I think they're going to be somewhere in that 8-8, 9-8, 9 or 10 wins. But wait a minute. Hold on. The difference between 7-8, 9 and 10 wins, as you know, is a little quirk here or there. That's what it is. That's the difference. There's not much difference in those teams. When you're talking about the teams that win 12, 13, 14 games, now we're saying a huge separation. But the teams that win – you know, 8, 9, or 10 games are all pretty much the same. To me, we talk all the time about talent. If you look at it through the Patriots' history, and you just revealed about teams that were loaded, because that team that was undefeated was loaded. Talk about offense, that was great offense, not good offense, phenomenal offense. So, but there have been teams with far less talent. You talk about the 0-1 team. The St. Louis Rams were so much better than the New England Patriots. They were 14.5-point pick on Super Bowl, and had that Super Bowl gone an extra 2 minutes, New England would have lost that game. But they played within the parameters of the time that was on the clock, and they, for some reason, they had a phenomenal game plan. So you have an organization, you have a coach, you have a coaching staff. You can steal a game here or there. So you can go from a 7 or 8 win team to a 9 or 10 win team. I'm not saying with this type of talent and without having a really good quarterback, you probably can't win 12 or 13. I'm throwing that out. I'm saying that's out. We're not even talking about that. But you're telling me the difference between 6, 7, 8, 9, is that much difference? I don't think so.
Well, if you go difference between 6 and 7, I'd say, okay, you're a crappy team. If you go difference between 8 and 9, I'd say you're probably the same. But when you can barely get 6 wins, when you're backdooring it into 7, you're about the same. But 8 and 9 win teams, okay, the 8, especially the 500 teams, the teams that finish 8 and 8, you can look back on your season and you just get so angry because it's a fumble here, it's a bad call there, it's an offside that made it more difficult for you in red zone, it's a mismanagement of the clock, it's a missed chip shot by the kicker. Oh, but really, think about it. Some teams will do everything right, and it'll come down to a 35-yard field goal, and the guy misses it. And then they go through 3 kickers. They're not a bad team. They have a crappy kicker. So, to me, that's what gets confusing, especially when teams get snake bit, you know, and they get lulled to sleep by a team's record and not looking at actually how they lost games. It's not that they're weak. It's not that they're bad. They just got screwed. So
yeah, but I would agree, Glenn. There is so much intrigue because I have no clue what's going to happen with this thing, with this team. I think they're a 5-win team. I don't think it's a very talented team. I think there are certain position groups that are good. I think their secondary is outstanding. And I think if their offensive line is healthy, I think they're outstanding. That's probably the only group I could sit there and say that I feel great about. That's it. They're talking about, you know, having to maybe go get an edge rusher. We'll see. We'll see if the rookies, the kids you drafted, are just that. I mean, they had huge holes at linebacker. We'll see if the rookies can just sort of step in and get the job done. I still think Daron Harmon's a big loss. And we'll see if Duggar can step in. Maybe the Phillips kid. We'll see if he can stay healthy. But I just don't – I don't see it. I know James White's a good player. I don't really think Sony Michel is. So I think last year maybe teams figured out James White. They were putting corners on him. And it kind of took him out of it a little bit. So then I see an inexperienced group that makes a lot of those mistakes that Christian's talking about that turns you from an 8-9-win team – to a 5-6-win team.
I think they've also had great success of plugging and playing in different people defensively. So you're looking at Van Noy, and you're looking at Jamie Collins. And by the way, Collins did not play well second half of the season. I don't know if he had physical ailments.
Yeah, once you started playing real football teams, just like the rest of the defense, when they gave up 21 points a game in the second half of the season. That's
whatever,
what they are. That's
whatever
what they
it
are.
Was. I'll tell you the one thing I think is pretty interesting, and people are jumping all over this Patrick Chung getting an extension. And really, this extension is not because, and people are sitting there going, why didn't they pay Brady? And now they're going to pay a guy that when he's done with his contract, is going to be 36 years of age. I'm not sure Patrick Chung is ever going to see the end of this contract. He just signed a deal a year ago. So all they're doing is he was about to get $3 million pay this year, but they were going to get hit with a cap hit of $6 million. So what they're doing here is they're giving him the $3 million. He's getting it. They're extending the contract out. And so, therefore, they're freeing up $925,000 of cap space so that they can pay Kyle Duggar. That's what they have to do. But it's not like they're sitting here and saying, oh, this is great. We're going to extend Patrick Chung till he's 35 or 36. He was already talking about retiring this year. This could be his last year for all we know. All they're doing is restructuring. But here's the issue I have with that. He's an accommodating guy. He keeps on doing this time and time again. says he loves Belichick, would never play for anybody else. You know, when he came back here, it was the greatest thing in his career. Right. It's the greatest thing in his career when he came back. The whole works, okay? How is it that they're now down to Chung to free up money to pay their top draft pick in this draft? That tells me Joe Tooney's not playing ball with him right now. They're not getting other guys to play ball with him right now if you've got to go back to Patrick Chung. Because that's all this is. This is freeing up money. This is not like they're suddenly extending him and they're going to the old guy.
You go to your friends for a loan.
Right.
You go to your friends and family for a loan.
We don't have enough money to sign our second round pick.
Right.
We'll put some more cash in your pocket now. We'll have some years at the end of the year you won't see and you know it. So we just need to free up $1 million.
Because I think the plan is to get a year out of him, and then the kid replaces him, right? He becomes the replacement.
Yeah,
right?
I always thought it was funny when guys start, like when they get old, so old that they couldn't play anywhere else, they suddenly decide they won't play anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah, you're not playing anywhere else. It's easy for you to say that because nobody's going to take you.
Right.
Can't play anywhere else.
No, so next year, if Chung wants to come back, and they don't want to, I haven't even looked up the cap number for 2021, but if it's too much, what they do is they cut him, okay? And then they can bring him back if they want at a lot cheaper, and he probably is going to do it. But he played ball with them today. That's what this was all about. It's not about extending him till he's 35 or 36. That's not what they're doing. But they're doing is they're freeing up money. But you tell me, Christian, they couldn't get anybody else to free up money? This is the same guy that freed it up from them last year.
I kind of like that approach. I mean, Tooney just saying, no, mm-mm. Talk about leverage. They need the money, and they're running out of people to get it from. So
he can free up a boatload of money for them. They don't want to carry that number for him on a franchise
tag. I wonder, again, they're in cap jail because they can't get any relief. So now I start thinking about, all right, we have to walk away from Tooney, suck it up, give him the 1 year, and then that we're done with it after this. So who else can we go to? Can we go to Gilmore? We could probably go to him. Who else can we get more
Cannon? Here's a guy Mason? You can go to. You can go to Marcus Cannon, but here's the question I would have. You may look at it, and you've got some guys that have been hurt, and you've got other possibilities at that right tackle spot, okay? Is it possible that they're looking at saying, I don't even know if Cannon's going to make this team? And if you do extend him out, then all you're doing is you're putting more money, dead money, up for grabs, correct?
Yeah, there could be a lot of cap casualties.
And I think
The
next date to keep in mind, too, is right. June 1st is a big date for a lot of these teams.
They need money, yeah.
So,
that's
when
teams cut.
Yeah, June 1st could be a lot of these guys. Well, if you cut them pre-June 1st or if you cut them post-June 1st, I mean, you can save a lot more money one way than the other, or you could trade them post-June 1st. So I think June 1st, that first week of June, you will see a lot of this movement. And you still wonder if a lot of these guys end up getting cut. A guy we talked the other day, Rex Burkhead. You know, his cap hit right now, I don't know, is it 3.5 or something like that? And you can look at it and say, all right, well, guy's a very good player when he's healthy, you know, but can we afford that right now? You know, I mean, is it time to see what Damian Harris has, the other running back, and you know, move on from it's actually might be one position where they actually may have depth, you know, running back. Well, they sit there and say, we had this kid last year we drafted in whatever, the third round. We have never even used him. So do we free up $3.5 million with Burkhead? So after June 1st, I think you could see some of these guys getting cut. And other teams cutting too, and they could bring another guy.
But Bill's got eyes on those other guys. So they have boards up there down there in Foxborough. So at 3.9 is the cap hit on Burkhead.
That's
so,
a problem.
Right. So if you're Bill, you've got a board up there, and you have what you truly believe and your staff believes are going to be cuts on June the 1st. You're looking at how much money they're getting paid. You're looking at individual teams' total cap number, and you're sitting there going, this makes no sense. They got a young kid. They can bring him in, pay him nothing. This is going to be a guy that's going to be available to us. So you're looking at all those players, and you're coming up with what you think that player is going to get in the open market, aren't you? And then you're sitting to yourself, well, you got to have money on June the 1st to be able to do that. And right now, all they've opened up is they have $1.8 million right now after this deal today with Chung. $1.8 million.
Yeah, there's money to be found. You can always find it. And I just, you brought up Burke, and I'm like, oh, wow, okay. They got a bunch of backs, a bunch of young backs. How secure is he in his position? If it's 3.9, only $1 million cap, maybe there's some relief there, but it's not really that significant. and he has been hurt a lot, and you haven't really been able to rely on him. So you can actually, you know, give yourself a bunch of reasons to get rid of him.
Yeah,
but there's more guys
9.
On there. Yeah, there's more guys on there. I tell you, you could piecemeal it, or you could just go a big chunk with Gilmore, or you could cut Cannon.
Well, I think the 1-2 is
Cannon's $9 million.
You know, is you spent the second round pick on Mohamed Sanu. Right, he's got 1 year left at $6.5 million.
You could redo him.
So, I mean, wouldn't you sit there and say, okay, you know, he had surgery in the ankle. It wasn't the same guy. We still think he's a good player. Do you say, okay, let's rip up the $6.5 million? I mean, they could cut him, you know, and save $6.5 million. None of it's guaranteed, you know, after June 1st. You could save all of it. So, you know, do you throw that at him? Say, hey, we might cut you.
Well, I would say the chances of doing that.
But we sent the second-round draft pick. Don't you think they'd want him for another year on top of this one?
Yeah, but if they had drafted a receiver or two in this draft, I would sit here and say that's probably what their plan is.
Right.
The fact that they haven't, it tells me they're either going to keep Sanu at this number or they're going to try to work something out and say to him, you know, you're coming back from an injury this year. You know, we'll give you an extra year. And he's getting up there in age, so he's probably not going to get big money in the market.
I mean, just to give you an idea, post-June 1st, $9.9 million you could save on Hightower. $7 million on Cannon, again $6.5 million on Sanu.
Right,
I mean, these are big numbers. You know, $3 million basically for Burkhead. So I mean, that post June 1st, that's a big one.
But don't they have to find out what they've gotten guys like Froholt and Kajust and those guys? I mean, they don't know. They know what they've got in who's the kid, Illuminor or whatever, and he never did much to them. They can cut those guys and get rid of $2 million here. I would say the Cannon deal is. How could you go and redo Cannon's deal right now until you know if he's going to be your starting right tackle?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't real good last year, guys. He was having some injury problems. He wasn't real good. So it could be you look at it and say, do we really want to hold on to him? I mean, you know, we can get out of $8 million here.
Well, I mean, to your point, it's you know, Patriots aren't going to be the only team doing it. So if you're saving $7 million by cutting Marcus Cannon and think, okay, maybe we have some depth here. We're not sure about it, but we can save $7 million, and we can maybe spend $3 million of that and go get more depth at that position, a guy that was just recently cut on somebody else, right? So that's why I think after June 1st, you might see a little bit more flexibility here for them.
Well, I think they're going to have to because that's when Belichick has always been active. He has always been active finding that those veteran guys, always. And he's got no money to actually do it right now. He's always had money. A lot of times you get those guys fairly cheap. They made good money. They got dumped. They're looking, you know, for a different purpose right now. Though, I don't know. Does New England still have that same attraction? If you're one of those veteran players, Christian, and you never won a ring before and you made lots of money, coming to New England for cheap dollars on an incentive contract is a pretty good deal because you might walk away with a ring. Now it may make more sense to go to a team like a Kansas City or a Baltimore if you're going to play
Tennessee,
a little bit.
Yeah. New Orleans.
Yes.
Tampa.
Yeah.
What?
There's
I'm
lots
sorry.
Of options.
Yeah.
Listen, they couldn't get guys to sign last year. What makes you think they're going to get guys to sign this year? Every big-time free agent that they went after, they couldn't sign. They couldn't do it. So the shine is worn off.
Yep.
And people recognize it. Listen, and then the other problem is they don't overpay. So, hell, I'll go there. I know, you know, we don't have great odds of winning, but you're paying me so much money. Screw it. I've already kind of, you know, been in the league long enough. I'm going to do this one for the money. They're not doing it. So they really end up just, you know, screwing themselves based on their own philosophy. Now, they don't look at it that way. They look at it as a good financial decision on their part and not going to be stuck in any hole. But they're also not going to be any good. Because they just won't spend money on anybody.
So the other question is, when do they find out from the league what happens to Antonio Brown's money?
I keep forgetting about that. How does that affect them?
Well, they're on next
five?
This year. It's $5 million last year, and it's 4.75 this year. So that's dead money that's on the cap that they could take if they give him relief from last year, and then give him relief for this year. They could open up $9 million.
You know, and should, also, when
should
you
they
think
give
about
him relief?
It,
I don't know.
To me,
if it's a signing bonus.
It's a signing bonus.
And all you have to do is sign on the dotted line to get the signing bonus. It sounds to me
it's
like.
It's not incentives. Yeah. It's not games played. It's not percentage of game. It's not performance based. It's a signing bonus.
But
did
what
we
they're
sign
doing.
Him? Yes, we did. We owe him the bonus. They don't. They shouldn't get that money back.
But my guess is they're fighting a specific clause within the contract. Okay, that says that he didn't do this. He defied this. So therefore, we have an out here in the contract. Because a signing bonus to me is a signing bonus. If they decide that you're not going to play for them after one game, screw it. You did what you were supposed to do. You signed a contract. But if you violated something within that contract, that's got to be what they're doing, right, Lou? They got lawyers in there sitting there going, look at the, you know, point the 5A right here. Look at what he defied.
No more white woman.
Exactly.
To me, I don't know that. Listen, I don't know what kind of language would possibly be in the signing bonus. Like by definition, did you sign the contract?
It wouldn't
okay,
be the signing
then we're
bonus.
We're going to give you your bonus because you technically signed it.
It'd be the overall contract.
End of story.
Yeah. So we'll see whether they get it or not. But when is it going to happen? I mean, is that going to happen before June the 1st? When are we going to find out? All right, we're going to also have a mystery guest coming up today at 4 p.m. And coming up in the next segment, we will all sit and try to guess, as you will, who the mystery guest is. 617-779-7937, right here on OMF.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on OMF, we'll have the mystery guest, and we'll take our stabs at it coming up in just a couple of minutes. Emma Carr yesterday, very, very good, dealing with the old days and Michael Jordan and some of that other stuff. So have you guys seen this? Everybody is all excited because a lot of people think that a new book coming out in September called The Dynasty is going to be an expose.
Going to get all the secrets.
All the secrets on how it fell apart with Tom Brady. And Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. Guy's name is Jeff Benedict. He's an American author. He's written for Sports Illustrated and for the New York Times and the LA Times. And he's been around a long time. He's written, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 books. He was here at Northeastern for a while. He's written books with Armin Katayan, biography on Tiger Woods. So he's a well-published author. He's done a lot of books dealing with... out of bounds stuff like the NBA's culture of rape and violence. And so a lot of people think because of who he is that he's coming in and he is just going to rip it all apart. And I keep on hearing that he was granted exclusive access to the New England Patriots and everything there beginning in 2018. And a couple of people one person has referred to it like Michael Holley had years ago. So I checked it out. And talked to a couple people down there. And the sources I'm talking to, I'd say they're pretty good sources.
Glenn, you got the scouts out, don't
told,
you?
Told me that he was never granted exclusive access, and it was nothing like what Michael Holley experienced, that this Jeff Benedict never sat in any of these Bill meetings with players or any of that stuff. What they did do, and they liked the guy, and they believed the guy's going to write a history of the 20 years of the dynasty and how they were so successful. So I guess they think it's going to be a positive book. But they said that they allowed him and gave him access to the interviews of different people. So he spent time with Kraft, and he spent time with Bill, and he spent time, I guess, with Brady. I'm not sure about that. But different players and people that were there. So he did do that. But what I was told is there was... always kind of a chaperone there. There was always somebody there kind of with him when he was doing it. It was nothing like what Holley had. And Holley, if you've read his books, had total access. And,
weren't they upset about that at the end, though, too?
I think Bill was a little upset about the Julio Jones piece in the book with Dimitroff and the fact that...
It's going to be just talking about sustaining this dynasty for as long as it has.
Yes, I think that's going to be it. I don't think it's going to be nothing behind the scenes stuff
that we'll be looking for.
Yeah, but people have written, and I actually saw it on our own website, and it might have been Ryan Hannibal that wrote it. He was granted exclusive access that he was behind the scenes. That is what I was told is absolutely not true. That was not the case. He was around there, but they were setting up interviews. So if you were to go down there and say, I'm writing a book or whatever, can you give me access to sit and talk with people? And he would have a schedule in which he'd go down, he'd sit down and do an interview with different people down there. And he did quite a few interviews, but he was never with the team, practices, behind the scenes. Holly did all of that stuff, all of it. I mean, when Bill would come up for his Monday interview with us, Holly would be tagging along with him. He would be by his side, you know, constantly. That is not what this is about.
Yeah, and so we're not going to get anything that we want to get, right? We're not getting North Dallas 40.
I don't think so.
We're not talking about prescription drugs, you know, cutting guys that were...
the White House.
You're not getting the White House. You're not getting any of that stuff.
No.
See, that would never... That type of book, I think, is what everybody wants.
Yes.
But the only way you're going to get it is if you get someone from the inside that is disgruntled, that has all the answers, and it's just saying, F it, I'm selling everybody out. And he's not making anything up. He's not even going to Greg Bedard it. He was like, well, that's my opinion. He's not even doing any of that.
So let me ask you, as an ex-player, are you surprised that through 20 years, we've never had a player who's gone rogue and sat there and said, screw it. I'm going to lay it all out. I'm going to give the behind-the-scenes stuff. I'm going to give you stories of Belichick and everybody behind the scenes. 20 years, we haven't seen it. Why hasn't anybody done that?
But a player wouldn't be able to give you that. The only player who could really do it is Tom.
Yeah.
He's been there the longest, through the entire run, has had the most access to the most important people on the team. Oh, hell, we had Lawyer Malone was our mystery guest the other day. I mean, yeah, I mean, wouldn't you love, and Brady and Lawyer were running mates in the early days.
Yes.
Lawyer's going to give you the first two years of it, right? He's going to give you the first couple years. I'm saying of the Belichick-Brady thing. You're right. It's going to be Tom. And if it is a player, he'll probably honestly sit back and say, well, let me get that red jacket first. Or, you know what I mean? If I've been around long enough, I'm a great Patriot. Let me make sure that, you know, I'm... that's why it's like 15, 20 years away, you know, 10, 15 years away. It's not going to happen. You know, the guy to do it would be Brady.
Yeah.
That would be the guy to do it.
Unless you're Brady's going to do it.
Or Josh McDaniels with a long time as he's been there.
Yeah.
Charlie Weiss, Scott Pioli, Romeo Crennel, Ivan Fears. I mean,
I don't think any of those guys are going to write a scathing pick. I don't think any of them are going to do it. I just don't. Do you? I mean, I don't even think Brady is, because let's face it, unless Brady, you think Brady has already changed, so maybe you're right. Maybe he has changed. We'll find out, because it sounds to me like he's, you know, promoting the same products. He's taking the same heat, and, you know, he's going to recoil now every time he does something like what he did the other day.
Yeah, I don't think he would do it. I mean, we're talking 15, I don't think he's 20 years from now. You think 60-year-old Tom Brady's going to want to sit down and rehash it and just start shredding?
No, I think he's going to sit on the rocking chair, and he's going to be the hero, and he's going to be the greatest to ever play the game still. Or, you know, they'll be arguing whether it's some new kid, and he's going to enjoy that. That's what he enjoys. He's not going to enjoy sitting there talking about the Belichick. I think you're going to get less 20 years from now from Tom Brady about Belichick. Negative stuff. Less. There'll be more positive stuff about Belichick 20 years from now.
Yeah, he just high roads the hell out of you. He always takes the high road.
And here's the other one. If Belichick
does not know the low level.
Right, and Belichick would be much older at that time. And who's gonna beat up the old guy? Who's going to do it?
Did anybody beat up Don? Well, I think Bill, I was going to say, nobody ever beat up Don Shula. Well, he never did anything.
What are you talking about? Shula was out beating up Belichick and other people.
I know, but
he
doesn't have the track record that Bill does. I think
we're talking about
people.
We're talking about him as the greatest coach. One of the greatest coaches.
Older journalists, older analysts will sit there and go, guys, did you forget about Deflategate? Did you forget about that he was taping practices? You guys forget about all that stuff? That ain't going anywhere.
Listen, period. This might be a good book. I don't know. It's coming out in September, and apparently
I was already excited about it when I heard Mutt talking about it. Hell, he should work for him.
It was already done, by the way, before the end of the season. That's what I was told. At least the Patriots thought it was done. So I'm sure he's going to add the next chapter, but he was not around there for the end when Brady left. He was not around for that. So, but I think most people think down there it's going to be positive. It's not going to be because he didn't have that exclusive access that some people have mentioned. All right, it's time for our mystery guest.
Who can it be now? Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can part of the show. Be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Well, we all know the rules, Christian, right? Tyler gives us a dumb-ass, stupid hint.
That's right.
It's always wrong, or at least 92% of the time it's wrong. And then we throw out six questions to him. He gives us a yes or a no. Sometimes he pisses us off by delaying it by two or three seconds. And then we try to guess. So here we go.
The hint is what I like to call Tyler's attempt to show how clever he is.
Yeah, crappy hint. Here we go.
This hint has been fact-checked, by the way, so this is accurate.
I hope so. It's about time.
Okay, good.
We've been doing it for four weeks now.
That's kind of important.
Yeah. I thought I'd start trying now. Here we go.
All right.
The hint for the mystery guest here at 4 o'clock on OMF, this person has been elected to a Boston sports team's Hall of Fame. The mystery guest here at 4 o'clock, your hint, this person has been elected to a Boston sports team's Hall of Fame.
Right, okay. So
per usual, got to figure out what sport it is.
Been out of.
Is it a fall or winter sport?
Sports for a while.
don't go with the seasons, Christian, please. All right, Lou, you start.
Okay.
Got to get the sport.
Okay, got to get the sport. Is this person a football player? Play for the Patriots?
No.
We always go football first.
Go to baseball.
No. Hush. Is it a fall sport?
Just kidding.
Jesus.
Okay, wait. So it's not for. So is this person? Is it baseball?
Yes.
Okay. It's baseball.
There you go. I'll help you.
We already had our basketball guest on yesterday, so I mean, you know they're not going to double dip.
Bruce don't have a Hall of
Fame. So it's a baseball player.
Because the other two sports.
What era did this guy play? And we need to figure out what we got. We got to bracket this somehow. We got
to. Yeah. So let's try to figure it out. Baseball. So Hall of Fame's got to be pretty far back, right, Lou?
Yeah, I would say probably not early 2010s, 11, 12. So it's got to be 90s, 2000s.
So let's say before
80s.
Before 2000, right, Lou? Before 2000. Let's do before 2000. That works, right?
Yes.
Did he play with the Red Sox before 2000?
Yes.
There you go.
Aha. Now we're in my area.
I think this might be the answer. Might be a wrong
guess.
Before
2000, before 2000, so he never won a World Series.
Is that a question? The answer would be no.
No. That is a statement.
Can I ask a question? he's in the Red Sox Hall of Fame, right?
Correct.
Is he in baseball's Hall of Fame, MLB's?
No.
How many questions do we have left?
Oh, wow.
Looks like two more. One for Glenn, one for Christian.
Okay, was this... Okay.
Well, we know he's a baseball player, so there's one of two.
Okay. Was this guy known... let me see, because I'm not going to ask... I can't ask the position, so I got to figure out, like, was it a hitter? Was it a fielder? Was it a pitcher?
There you go.
I can go the color route, like you did yesterday. Is he a white guy or is he a black guy?
Well, it's offense or defense. Is he pitch or hit?
Yeah. Okay.
How about is he
was
dead
this
or
guy,
alive?
Was this guy a pitcher?
No.
Okay, so it's a hitter, and the baseball that can't be many. I mean, there can't be a lot of hitters from era.
Was he a pitcher?
Is it my boy? No.
is it Nomar?
No.
Well, that's right. He's not a Hall of Famer.
You shouldn't even answer that. Oh, he isn't a Hall of Famer?
He said he's not a Hall of Famer in baseball Hall of Famer. So he's a Red Sox Hall of Famer, which there are a lot of people in.
Correct. Final question to Glenn Ordway.
But
the mystery guest at four.
Is it Joe Castiglione?
2000.
So it's, hold on, Glenn, before you waste your last question, it's a hitter.
Yes.
I think we may need to go race. We need to throw the race card in there.
I'm not doing the race
really
card.
How about any
down.
Batting championships or something like that, Glenn? Any batting championships? Did he ever... having any home run records, something like that to narrow it down.
All right, so we know.
I mean, how many?
We know it's
guys
not a pitcher. We know
the...
it's not a baseball Hall of Fame. So we have to come up with a specific.
Wait, we said before 2000, right?
And the answer was yes.
It's not
okay, but it's. But we need to narrow it down as far as was it between like 1990 and 2000?
It's not Boggs.
This is your final question, by the way.
Do you need Glenn? Glenn, it needs
was it
to be,
Cy Young?
We need to narrow it down.
Pitcher.
Narrow it down to what, Christian? Do you want
years?
Christian's got those beautiful mind number equations floating around his head right now.
I would say that the best we can do is find out, Lou, if it's an infielder or an outfielder, right?
I would
that
say.
That would be the best that we can do.
Okay.
So let's
go
do
ahead.
Let's,
your,
so let's do this.
Pick.
Is it an outfielder?
No. Definitely not. It's not, definitely not me.
This guy
not
ain't going. Definitely not me. He's got no speed. Definitely not me. Did you see the way he said that? Oh, he's the outfielder. Oh, definitely not. So he can't run. Who do we know that can hit and can't run anywhere? That's ridiculous. That's rude, Tyler.
See, the one thing I screwed up. I got it.
It
still could be a catcher, though. It could be like somebody like Veritek, right?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Could be I got Veritek. Three options.
Oh, good. Three options. We'll do it.
All right.
This person has been elected to a Boston Sports Hall of Fame. Football, no. Baseball, yes. Before 2000, yes. Baseball Hall of Fame, no. Not a pitcher. And not an outfielder, okay? But I forgot that it could be a catcher, and I'm thinking maybe it's Veritek. Is that possible? OMF being brought to you live from our Shaw's and Star Market WEEI home studios. Coming up next, you will meet, as we will, the mystery guest.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.